Hi, Gary.
Yep. Nice. All right, so the title of the teaching, I was having a hard time coming up with a title for the teaching. And basically, it's Life with God. And, I'm going to go through a few verses, so, bear with me. But basically, God wants to take care of us, right? The problem, we live in a world that's evil, corrupt, and full of obstacles, right? And so it's not always Skittles and rainbows, right? The solution is to remember that God loves us very much. So John 3:16, where you guys are at now, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's great. I mean, Jesus Christ came and, did what God told him to do, and because of it, we're God's kids, and we have amazing, wonderful, blessings and things to look forward to, and things now as well. So turn to 1 John, back in your Bible, chapter 3. Just remember that God wants to take care of us. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed or lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Verse 2, "Beloved," it's who we are, we're loved of God. "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," Christ shall appear, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now if you jump down to verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he," referring to verse 2, "Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So God really wants to take care of us, which is really clear. He loves us, calls us beloved, sent a son for us. So it's really, really clear, right? So when problems come, when situations come, it's good to remember that God wants to take care of you. He really does. Just keep that in your mind. One of my go-to verses when crazy things happen at work or wherever, is this verse we're going to turn to right now. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. Probably a familiar verse for everybody. This one kind of clearly says that God cares for you. Verse 7. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you," right? God can do it. Whatever you have in your life or, things need to be a need, God can take care of it, Now, sometimes we read this verse, I do at least, as one of my go-to verses, and I forget the verse previous. So let's look at verse 6, and we'll read these two together. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." So, I love those two words in verse 6, mighty hand of God, mighty hand. So, we can humble ourselves. All right, so the reason why this hits me so hard is because, sometimes when problems arise, in life or whatever, I start thinking, okay, what's the solution? What can I do? What needs to happen? What steps need to be taken to get this problem solved? And it becomes sort of a, if it's to be, it's up to me type of thing, And so, it's good just to be reminded that, it's God's problem, right? God has a job, we have a job. It's God's job to meet our need, take care of us. It's our job to trust God, right? And so it's just kind of good to be reminded that, don't think it's all about you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So, he's God. God deserves our trust, our gratefulness, our faith. It really is like that old song years ago. It's an attitude of gratitude, So that mindset of, if it's to be, it's up to me, that's wrong, God supplies our need. So if you turn to Philippians 4, we'll take a look at something else. Speaking of supplying our need. Yeah, unfortunately, I have all the verses right here, so I don't have to turn anywhere. So. So verse 19, Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus," And that's pretty amazing. Now what blessed me about, this verse, obviously what it says, God's going to supply your need if you have a need. But what's cool about this section in the Bible is, Philippians 4, it's written by Paul, Paul the Apostle. And when he was writing Philippians, particularly chapter 4, he was in a Roman prison, chained to a Roman guard. So what's kind of cool is and we're going to read it real quick, but from verses 1 to like 13, Philippians 4, 13, I'll read that in a second. He's talking about abundance. He's talking about renewing his mind. He's talking about, God supplying your needs. He's talking about helping other believers in the church, and all these wonderful, good, amazing things that one may or may not think about when they're chained to a Roman guard in a Roman prison. So it's just kind of cool where his heart was. But so jump up to verse 13, and we'll read Philippians 4:13. And very familiar verse, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, right? And this is a really amazing verse on the page as it sits there. But we're going to take a look at a little bit of behind it. But first I want to read the Amplified version of this verse. And it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start at verse 1 of chapter 4 and just kind of read through to verse 13. So again, just as a reminder, where was Paul? Well, he was in a Roman prison cell under guard, and he writes to the church at Philippi. And in verse 1, it says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, the brethren there, Philippi, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And then, verse 4, rejoice, or have joy over and over and over again in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then verse 6, another power verse, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I love that word careful. I mean, we know it's the word anxious, but if you just take it as it stands on the page and you kind of flip-flop it, right? Be full of care for nothing. Full of care. It's the focus of your life. But in everything by prayer and supplications, praying specifically with thanksgiving, let those prayers be made known to God. So it's kind of cool. We can pray specifically to God for things that we need. Verse 7, here's the result. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, this is a great one too. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am. And this is kind of cool too. Pay attention to this verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. I know both how to be abased or humble, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So 11 and 12, basically, they're kind of saying, I've been taught, obviously, by God that no matter what circumstance or situation I'm in, I know how to conduct myself. I know how to act. I know how to renew my mind. I know how to carry myself no matter what's happening. And then the verse 13 kind of culminates this whole section by saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So it's really, really, really cool how it all fits together like that. So, if we have need, we've got, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. We can pray specifically to God. We believe that He will fulfill His word in our lives. And when it comes to what we have need of, and it kind of really gets to me, it's not so much the need in our life. If we have something that we desire to have, like Don said, she prayed for healing, she got healed. What's cool about that is if we do have a need in our life, we don't have to necessarily focus on that thing that we need, right? So, like, if I need a new job, which I'm looking for a new job, my current job is not very good, so I'm looking for a better job. But I don't make my job the focus of my prayer. Right? The object of my believing is God. The object of my prayer is God. And so God knows what I need. Right? I can pray specifically, but it's not, oh, I need this, this thing. It's, oh, God, take care of the need in my life. Right? So, that's what I do. So. So when things go wrong in life, as they sometimes do, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're off the word or out of fellowship, right? So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know that phrase that, I think it's a verse actually, I guess, that the renewed mind being the key to power. I guess Romans 12, 2, you know, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's true. It really is. I mean, we have all these promises and these truths written out in the Word, and really it's just a matter of, you know, believing them and accepting them as true, you know, and then walking out on them, right? So it's simply put down here. So it's just a matter of, you know, you're going to flip the switch in your head and actually accept this information and then watch God go to work. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. So like I said, when things go wrong in life, it doesn't mean that we're out of fellowship or off the word, because verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We have an adversary, right? There's a devil. He's out there, you know, looking to steal, kill, and destroy, and really, we're number one on his list. You know, the believers are. So it's important to really just keep that in mind. And let's go to the Gospels real quick. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And this is an example of Jesus Christ used to kind of iterate what I just said about, you know, us having an adversary. So John 9. Verse 1. Actually, Tom, would you mind reading that, please?
Sure. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Go to verse 4, please.
"Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work."
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the first question that the disciples asked was, you know, who sinned that this guy was blind? And Jesus Christ's response was, no one sinned. You know, it's, you know, this he is, you know, whatever. I'm here to heal him, basically. I'm here to heal him. And so, you know, sometimes it's not always about, you know, getting down on yourself, like, I did something wrong, so that's why things are going bad. You know, no, we have an adversary, and, you know, God is the solution, and the power of God is the solution. That's what Jesus Christ did. When he walked about sharing the word and doing things for people, he was manifesting the power of God. And so people came to Jesus Christ to see the power of God in their lives, right? And that's what he did. So, let's go ahead and go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Actually, I take that back. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. So, yeah, I mean, this is all about life with God, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, life with God, our life with God. You know, I'm kind of focusing on, you know, if there's trouble or problems and how to deal with them from God's perspective, but just everyday life with God. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, and this is Paul talking. Verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And this is kind of cool. This is Paul's definition of light affliction. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, Paul was all about, at one point in his life, he wasn't all about doing God's will. Or he thought he was, but he was doing bad things to believers. But then later, you know, after being, you know, that phenomenon of being witnessed by Jesus Christ, witnessed by Jesus Christ on the road to, is it Emmaus?
No.
Damascus, thanks. Or he was witnessing of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He changed his name, changed his whole life, you know, and was all about blessing, helping God's people more so than in the way that was right, as opposed to dragging them out of their houses or consenting to them being stoned, or, you know, all these bad things he was doing. So verse 23 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, this is Paul's definition of a light affliction. See what you think about this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths off. Verse 24, of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. So he was whipped, right? And that's basically 195 times, right? Thrice or 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of by my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, you know, in perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, watching often, in hunger, thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know, so specifically 23 through 27, that's Paul's definition of a light affliction. right? I've never experienced any of that. So. And he was still, you know, walking for God, blessing God's people, so it's pretty amazing. And just, you know, another little glimpse, go to verse chapter 12, same book, 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7. This is Paul still. And so throughout all this, Paul still manages to bless God's people. And verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, thrice, that it might depart from me. Verse 9, here's God's response. This is really cool. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, this is Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then I am strong. And so the answer was, did Paul face problems alone? No. He looked to God. And God's response was verse 8 and 9. Or verse 9, you know, my grace is sufficient for thee. And God's grace is pretty amazing, right? I mean, everything we have is because of God's grace. I mean, we didn't deserve it, earn it, work for it. I mean, you know, we believe in Romans 10, 9, 10, but it's by God's grace, right? And that was God's answer. I mean, you know, God's not going to put you into a situation that you can't handle, obviously, right? He's not going to put you into something that's going to break you, right? It's our responsibility to go to God when things get difficult or hairy or whatever you want to call them, but God's grace is there. You know, God's, what do you need? You know, we just read something. You know, he'll supply your need. You know, you can pray to him specifically. I mean, there's a lot of great things. Cast all your cares upon him, right? It's just really amazing. So don't try to do it all by yourself, right? Definitely give your problems to God. He's there to help you. I mean, he's got so much readily available for you to use. Just amazing. All right, let me hit one more section real quick that I kind of want to throw in there. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And this kind of addresses, if we're walking with God and we're not out of fellowship, why is it that sometimes, you know, bad things happen? And we answered that, the adversary, earlier. But this is another... another thing that God's given to us to help us in those situations. It's figurative. It's really, really cool. So Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think we want to, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And God spells it out, right? Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now these are all figurative things, right? It's truth is real, and righteousness is real, but the armor is more figurative. So, you know, loin your girds with truth. Gird your loins with truth. And, Put on righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, ready to, you know, live and walk the word of God in peace. Verse 16, Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Right? So believe in God. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, that is again, like in Philippians 4:6, praying specifically in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So one thing that really I thought was really neat about this section is you've got this really descriptive, description of the armor, and where to put it, where it belongs, and how it's used, And armor, historically, doesn't prevent you from getting hit, but it prevents you from getting killed. So, at times you're going to get hit, right? Things are going to happen. You're going to have to, the adversary is real. He's out to get us. So, but we have all this, gracefully given by God to protect ourselves and to, go day to day. And let's close in back again in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. And Pauline, could you read that, please?
Sure. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Could you read verse 7, please?
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
And why? Why do that? Because his grace is sufficient for us. He cares for us, and he is mighty. So that's my share.
Thank you. Wow.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, we certainly have a lot to be thankful for as God's kids, a lot to offer. A lot to give.